the National Board meeting. We are just about to start with the executive, I should say, the chair's report. The board chair's report. They've had the adoption of the minutes from the previous meetings, and they've introduced the board members who are here. First of all, before we really get started, I do want to mention the various different stations that are carrying this. There is KPFA in Berkeley, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, KPFK in Los Angeles, WBAI in New York, and we also want to mention the sources for webcasting, radioforhouston.org, WBIX.org, KPFX.org, and the Independent Media Center in Washington, D.C., which will carry interviews and special Interim Pacifica National Board-related programming overnight as well. I'm Jim Bennett, the Interim General Manager of KPFA, and I'll be your host for this evening, although it will really be the Pacifica National Board and all of its members who will carry this meeting forward. And so let's now join Leslie Kagan's comments as she begins her report.
Very draining experiences, and often very painful experiences for all of us, for everybody around the network. So on the one hand, we must and continue to put effort into stabilizing things and the beginning the healing process in this network. At the exact same moment, we are by definition created from the settlement agreement that brought us here to this table tonight, we are in a moment, a period of transition and change. So we're doing these two things at once. We're stabilizing things and changing things at the exact same moment. I think that leads to, it opens up the possibility for a lot of creativity and a lot of new ideas, but also I think it leads to some of the frustrations that I know a lot of people are feeling. I think that's a very unusual dynamic to be caught right in the middle of. But I think that does frame a little bit or describes for me a sense of where we're at. I also think that we are, throughout the network, many of us feeling the urgency of the period that we live in. And this goes way beyond Pacifica. This has to do with the state of the world and the state of the country. And I'm not going to do a news analysis right now. I think those of you who are here tonight and listening tonight know what I'm talking about. We are in a very, very serious national and international crisis that has there's no end in sight. There's no timeline for ending this thing. The ongoing war on terror that is, you know, our government engaging in warlike acts anywhere against any group of people for any reason. That's the summary that I have of the war on terror. And the implications of that here at home. And homeland security and all that means. And that urgency that has to do with the world we live in, I think places on us, those of us who are fighting, struggling to rebuild this network, a terrific burden, a terrific responsibility to make these stations and make this network as strong as it all can be so that we can contribute, we can really find our place in the broader peace and social justice movements of this country and around the world and make our contribution. And I think that reality of the world that we live in today and what's going on all around us also adds tremendous pressures on us, and we should just acknowledge that, that that's part of what we're dealing with. There are many, many things that are good to report, and you'll hear a lot more about these from different people throughout the weekend, the different agenda items. So just very quickly, the debt is under control. You'll get a lot more information about that. But the debt is not controlling us. We are managing it. And in general, our financial situation is getting under control. There's a lot more work to do. The bylaws process, while far from over, is up and running. It is underway. The process of reviewing and thinking about and changing our bylaws and creating a new democratic governance structure is up and running, underway, as we said. We'll have a lot more discussion about that in the weekend. I believe, although unfortunately I forgot to check earlier today, but I believe all of the items listed under hot items and settlement agreements, I believe they've all been completed or are about to be completed, which is nice. It's nice to have a list that you actually complete at some point. We have had some very successful national programming initiatives, at least three special days that I don't think I'm missing any. One was just this past Wednesday. For those of you who got to hear any of it, it was an incredible day on Juneteenth, a day that talked about issues of war and peace, and the war at home, and the history and the legacy that we come out of. It was an incredible day of programming all around the network. The April 20th coverage of the peace demonstrations in New York and, I'm sorry, in Washington and here at San Francisco. And then, of course, back at the end of February, the very successful day of fundraising on all five stations to raise money to complete the tower, the transmitter tower in Los Angeles. And we'll hear more about that, too. So we've begun to develop some new or renewed programming initiatives that I think we should all feel quite proud about, and it points to all the work we can do. The other good thing I want to report is that I believe that slowly but surely this interim board has begun to learn how to work together. We had, I think, an extremely successful retreat earlier this week, Wednesday night and all day Thursday, and most of the board was there. A few people couldn't join us, unfortunately. But we had very frank and honest exchange of ideas and points of view. Some of it will come up during the different agenda items of the weekend. But I think that was part of a process that has been developing. We were just getting to know each other a little more and a little better. And we are beginning to work more coherently as a board. And I think that's something else that we should feel quite proud of and good about. Having said all that, there's some bad news, as you might imagine, and some serious problems and some big challenges. Let me just start with what I see as some of the big problems. I am, to be brutally honest with you all, horrified and quite upset at the level of backbiting and slamming and name-calling that has erupted throughout this network. You know, it was only a handful of months ago when we were all a unified whole fighting to reclaim Pacifica. It seems as if, having won that fight, we opened up space for us to now find how much we hate each other or are angry at each other or whatever it is. And I want to use this moment to urge you all, everyone here and everyone who's listening, to just take a deep breath. I mean, it really feels at moments that some of this dynamic has gotten a little out of hand. What that means, of course, is that we can't just say, all right, everybody chill out, take a deep breath. That's not going to solve anything. What we do need, though, is to develop mechanisms, some conflict resolution or grievance procedures throughout this network. So when problems emerge, there's a clear process, a place to go, somebody to talk to, so that things can be worked out. Because while this type of energy has emerged, at the very same moment, we really need all hands on deck. We need everybody to be involved in the rebuilding of this network. And this kind of fighting and backbiting stuff really is a major distraction from the work that we all have to do. So I just want to put that out there as clearly as I can. Thank you. I think we have also begun to learn, largely through the bylaws discussion and that whole process, that there are other things that we need to do in this network above and beyond or parallel to the governance issues and rewriting the bylaws. We've got to begin to look at all the policies and procedures and operations manuals and all those things that either are there and need to be reviewed and revised or aren't in place that we need to begin to hammer out and put into place. This is a major piece of work that we haven't even begun to figure out how to take up yet, but hopefully we will begin to move toward that. And I think hopefully that process will help in the answering of some of these internal difficulties. What's become clear is that there's a lot of confusion, maybe it's getting a little better, between governance and management. And we've really got to figure out what these terms mean and how we separate out functions between governance and management and our operations, our daily operations and the overall policy setting work that we have to do, and try not to lump everything together and really make some distinctions. We have some major programming challenges ahead of us. For some of the, a lot of the stations have gone through changes in their programming above and beyond the national days of programming. But I must say, from where I'm sitting, it seems that we have a lot more work to do at all five stations. There is not one station that really should be exempt from an internal examination. And by internal, I don't just mean the staff and the programmers. I mean internal in that listening community, that all the component parts need to be really involved in a serious examination of the programming. Does it meet the mission? Is it interpreting the mission in a certain way? Are we really reaching out to other newer constituencies and communities? Are we really being or providing a voice to the voiceless and letting the voiceless be heard? And I'm not talking about, please, let me just be totally clear. I'm not saying that we only need to have news and public affairs programming. We need to revitalize the arts and cultural programming. We need to make that a vital part of our town. The other thing that we really need to grab a handle on is our limitations. We did an amazing thing, right, over the last several years. We did a truly amazing thing in reclaiming Pacifica, and now we have a tremendous amount of work in actually rebuilding each of the five stations and the national organization as a whole. And we need to understand that we have serious limitations. We don't, not only do we have a debt, I mean, there's a whole financial piece here. We can't just hire as many people as we like to hire. We don't have the money to do everything we'd like to do. We have small staff, certainly in the national staff. I think it's 8 or 9 people who are in the national office. That's not a whole lot of people to handle an operation like this. Our internal turmoil that I spoke about earlier is also a real limitation, creates limitations for us. So we have to balance that sense of urgency that we have, that political sense of urgency to get everything right, to fix it, to put it all together, we have to ground that in the reality of the resources we have. We also, I should say, I believe, have too few people doing this work. We need more people at each of the stations and on the national level, too, volunteering, taking up internship positions, offering to help. And we need our stations to be welcoming and encouraging those volunteers to come in and putting them to work. We need to do that from both ends. Let me just say one other thing, and then I'll wrap this up. When we last met in Los Angeles, the opening night session happened to be on International Women's Day, and I made some reference to gender issues. Well, I'm sad to report that it's 3 months later, and we haven't made any progress on this front. I am thrilled. I'm delighted. I am really deeply committed to the way we have been collectively pushed to more coherently and systematically address issues of race and racism and ethnic diversity and nationalities and that whole package. That is critical that we do that. But if we don't pay similar attention to gender issues and sexism, then we are missing the boat. We are not going to tap into the creativity and the potential energy that could come our way if we ignore those issues. And that shows up in programming. It shows up on the staffing levels. I mean, I don't have the figures in front of me. My bird's eye view of things is that we got a lot more men in some of these places than we have women. It shows up in every level and every part of this organization. We really need to figure out how to address gender issues, not to distract, not as a way that distracts from our attention to race and issues of nationality and race and ethnic diversity. That is paramount, just as gender must be front and center in our consciousness and in our work. At least I hope that happens. I believe that even with the problems we have, and there are more, and many of them will come out during the the weekend discussion. I am feeling, above and beyond being tired, I am feeling terrifically optimistic. This victory was and remains a tremendous victory for all the work that people are doing all around this country for peace, for social and economic justice. And our contribution to those struggles grows every day. I am quite optimistic that we are well on the road to not only strengthening each of our five stations, and they're all in different levels of, you know, they all need attention in different ways, but I am optimistic that we are on the road in all those five signal areas, and that we are also on the road to reinventing what this foundation means on a national level. And I really hope that at the end of this transition process, we don't find ourselves with five strong, local, community-based, corporate-free, free speech radio stations, and that's it. I hope that we end up with those five strong stations and a strong, vibrant national organization. Those should not be in contradiction with each other. And I believe we can do that, and that we have the will to do that, and through that, with that will and with that tenacity and our creativity and hard work, we actually will find that the victory of the settlement agreement last December actually did open up the doors and lay the groundwork for us to literally reclaim this network and put it on the right track. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Leslie Kagan's report, the chair of the Interim Pacifica National Board.
So, now we want to open it up for community comments. Did anybody sign up?
While we're waiting for the first person to come up to the microphone, I will tell you that here's the agenda for the rest of the evening.
And while the list is being brought up, my name is Pete. I'm from Berkeley.
That's Pete Bramson.
Please, a couple of
there will be the general community comment for the next hour. Then that is followed at 8:15 West Coast time, 11:15 p.m. East Coast time, with a report regarding the hiring of the permanent executive director of Pacifica, and they are expected to make an announcement this evening about that hire. And then at 8:30, there is a report, an update from the Pacifica Archives and its state, and then that will last approximately 15 minutes, and then the meeting will adjourn for the evening. It will be back, and it will also be on the air on these same stations tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., and will continue until 6 p.m. West Coast time or 9 p.m. East Coast time and begin at noon East Coast time.
Rayla Forrest, also from New York. Good to be with you.
I think that's everybody.
And of course, we missed the introduction of the board members themselves.
Before we hear community comment, I'm Marion Barry from Washington, D.C., WPFW, hometown. I want to commend you for the kind of time you spent on this. I know you have been up to your elbows and work really group. I mean, Leslie has just put in a tremendous amount of time. She's called me repeatedly two or three times until I call her back. But I think the board ought to give her a round of applause for the kind of time and effort she's put into this thing.
Thanks a lot. Okay. We have about a dozen or so people. We'd like to remind you to try and keep your comments fairly short. The first is Sylvia Galvez, then Redwood Mary, then Chandra Hoffman. And if you could just identify
yes,
where you're from when you speak.
I'm from the South Bay, and good afternoon. I'm going to read here. My name is Sylvia Galvez. I am the founder of the Matriarchal Evolutionary Cosmic Church. This church is none.
Yeah, just pull the microphone down a little more. Let's get some of these radio people to help out.
Excuse me. I'm here, I hope, in order to get some harmony between Pacifica. Because I'm very interested in, you know, having more democracy here. So anyway, this church is non-Christian and non-traditional. This church is designed to follow the matriarchal, evolutionary, and cosmic principles, principles that exist all around us. I am with the Labor Party, and I am the founder of the International Institute for the Classical Arts. I am a progressive woman who believes in progressive politics. I've been a Pacifica listener for more than 20 years. About 16 years ago, I did some bilingual programming, Spanish-English, at KPFA on the hot topic of the day, the war in Central America. 10 years ago, I was one of the first people to be banned from KPFA. The ban, let me say, is a vicious lie. In 1995, a purge followed and many people were taken off the air. I left California and came back last year. In March of last year, I started going to the radio station because I wanted to volunteer my time and energy there. I wanted to talk to volunteers, staff, paid and unpaid, about bringing the women's department back to the radio station. I wanted to join the program council and the local board. There was an open policy for me from March 2001 to August of 2001. That was until Mr. Bennett decided to ban me from the radio station. You, the National Board, have that information. You can read the information at your own time and follow the events. In March of this year, I faxed a contract to Mr. Bennett and Mr. Muldery. I proposed in the contract that I would bring Rigoberta Menchú Tun, the 1992 Nobel Peace Laureate or Prize winner, to the Bay Area to do a benefit or several benefits for KPFA. I called Mr. Baldock, who is the public events organizer, and decided to have him organize the event with his people, and I would play only a minor role in the organization of the event at no cost to the station. I made the appointment with Mr. Baldock on April 23rd at 3 p.m., and he invited me to go to the station. And we talked for about 45 minutes about the event. While I was at the lobby speaking with Mr. Baldock, I saw Mr. Bennett, and he smiled at me, and I smiled back. I assumed that the ban had been lifted because of the events that had transpired with Mr. Muldery and Mr. Baldock in April. In May 2002, during the marathon, I wanted to help the radio station raise funds because I assumed that the ban had been lifted. I wanted the talk show host to thank the organizations that I created for having helped them that day. When I go to the radio station, the receptionist tells me that I cannot go in because there is still a ban on me. On May 24th of 2002, I spoke to Mr. Baldock, and I said to him that I cannot be instrumental in bringing Rigoberta Menchú Tun, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, to the Bay Area to do several benefits for the radio station because there is a ban on me imposed by Mr. Bennett. I cannot, in good conscience, help the radio station under those circumstances. I am interested in helping Pacifica at some future time when this problem with the general manager and the assistant general manager, Mr. Phil Azegueda at KPFA, is resolved. Pacifica is in the process of democratization, and I am very excited about it. And I would like to be part of the process of democratization. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Let me just say that we're not going to respond or comment on each of the comments. We want to hear from everybody and try and absorb the issues and the concerns that you're raising. Any particular thing that needs follow-up, we'll talk to you later to try and figure out how to do the follow-up. We also just want to ask people to try and keep their comments to no more than 2 minutes. Redwood Mary was next. And then Chandra Hoffman will be next after her.
Good Good evening, and welcome Pacifica board members. I want to thank you and to commend you for convening together for this historic opportunity to show the rest of the nation what it means to have the only radio network in the U.S. to function unconstrained by corporate dominance. I've been asked to bring to your attention a national programming issue. In my advocacy work on regional, national, and international forest and environmental issues, I've had the opportunity to speak on Pacifica Airwaves, WBAI, and KPFA, and many sister stations. And unfortunately, I've heard too often from listeners around the country that environmental analysis and issues are minimal and lacking in continued coverage. The declining environmental quality of planet Earth and the apparent increase in strength and frequency of natural hazards has intensified people's vulnerability to food insecurity, ill health, and unsustainable livelihoods. Global warming does not care what race or gender you are or what you own or not own. Everyone is vulnerable. The United Nations Environment Program still points out that national governments, the private sector, community groups, NGOs, and ordinary citizens all have a role to play in putting the environment at the forefront of the political agenda. But we need you to help us to do that. We must devote as much attention to environmental issues as to crime, politics, and finance. In April 2002, Julia Butterfly Hill and I spent one half hour on KPFA's morning show discussing the California State Heritage Tree Ballot Initiative that Senator Parada has now introduced to the state legislature in our state. After that show, I received many calls from listeners from Sacramento to San Jose saying, "I did not know there was a problem with our forests." This is only one example of the need to inform about these issues. We must cover in depth and on regular basis information so that people can understand the issues facing the life-supporting systems that we depend upon to survive. Those who are working on the front lines of environmental justice need to be heard from before we are arrested, before we are bombed, before we have to spend 2 years living in a redwood tree in order for the world to hear the cries of the forest. I hope you all continue to work together for what is important. Our public access to the airwaves is crucial and critical. Thank you.
Thank you. And then next is Sandra Hoffman, then it will be Michael Pimentel, and then Lauren Coodley. So if Michael and Lauren could move over to the mic, that'd be great.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Chandra Houtman. I'm a listener-subscriber from Berkeley, California, but I'm also a listener-subscriber from WBAI in New York. I'm here to bring you an emergency preparedness proposal for the Pacifica Radio Network. What would the Pacifica Foundation do if tomorrow or the next day the Federal Communications Commission, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or any other government regulatory agency decided to deny us access to the airwaves? This could very well happen with the corporate-controlled anti-free speech media climate in this country. How can we protect ourselves and protect the precious radio resources that we have? In the last several years, we nearly lost the Pacifica Foundation to a corporate-style takeover attempt that would have ended more than 50 years of community access broadcasting. We suggest that the Pacifica Foundation expand its network to include strong alliances with the independent media and community access media movements, including the creation of a network of micropower transmitters linked to broadcast internet and satellite receivers. This would create a fail-safe network known as Pacifica in Exile in the event that the Pacifica Foundation was dissolved and community broadcasting terminated. We would create a decentralized network using non-traditional means of broadcasting. During Pacifica's recent crisis, Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Left BAI under duress and took up residence at a community media center. An alternative distribution system was created using new media technologies when Pacifica refused to transmit Democracy Now! Even today, the program continues to be broadcast from the site where it is distributed to Pacifica Foundation stations, former Pacifica affiliate stations, several local community radio and cable access statements, websites, and et cetera. If our main transmitter is silenced, a similar type of network can be created to serve the current base of KPFA listeners and to expand KPFA's reach into California communities unable to reach the broadcast, receive the broadcast signals of KPFA and KFCF. This could also become a central hub in a national alternative media network. In conclusion, if free speech is to survive as a fundamental and inalienable right of all people, we cannot remain passive consumers of media. We must become active co-creators and participants in the struggle to break the stranglehold of corporate media monopolies on the free flow of news, information, cultural expression, and artistic creativity. If you cannot communicate, you cannot organize. If you cannot organize, you cannot fight back. If you cannot fight back, you have no hope of winning. Therefore, we ask the Interim Pacifica National Board to affirm that the right to communicate, as outlined in the International Declaration of Human Rights, is inviolable and must remain unconstrained by either government regulation or corporate fiat. We ask the Foundation to issue an immediate statement of support for micropower broadcasting and independent media. And we also ask the Foundation to take proactive measures such as special programming and outreach campaigns to counter the tide of media consolidation through increasing public awareness and encouraging citizen support at all levels of society. As a long-term goal, we propose that the Pacifica Foundation create an Office of Independent Media to expand the Pacifica network to include as many community media organizations and outlets as possible, work with community and solidarity organizations to establish community broadcast stations both here in the U.S. and abroad, and assist in the creation of a more robust and diverse Pacifica network. In free speech solidarity, I read this on behalf of Stephen Dunifer, myself, and Ralph Steiner. And you all have copies of this, and our websites and our telephone numbers are listed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Michael, Lauren Quigley, and then John Sheridan.
Madam Chair, members of the board.
Wait, I've been doing it one second. I've been trying to do this at every meeting. I'm going to try it again now. No Madam Chairs, no Chairman, no whatever. You want to get my attention, you can call me Leslie. That's the best thing. If that doesn't work, then just Chair is good enough.
Leslie and all the members of the board, I want to thank you for all your hard work and effort. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank Edwin Johnson, Dan Jones, and Stan Merriman for laying the groundwork in Houston that has allowed KPFT to have Dwayne Bradley as general manager. This groundwork has allowed KPFT to go from one of the more entrenched Pacifica stations to being on the cutting edge of change. I'd like to also apologize to the community here for allowing the infighting that has gone on, as Leslie was talking about, over these changes to seep outward and affect the larger community. I'm really sorry for that. I'd also like to say that the tactics that I've seen that are being used against KPFT listener sponsors and against KPFT board members, the kind of attack that perhaps were being used in the struggle to gain back Pacifica, tactics like attacking people at their jobs, contacting people's employers, and just general bullying tactics, threatening people with lawsuits and such, are not the tactics that Pacific people use. I think it's inappropriate for these tactics to be overwhelming our community with just nonsense. I'd like to also, with respect to the last board meeting you had, you passed a resolution that I thought was one of the more important resolutions that this board's passed at all. You passed a resolution that you would put together some editorials about the death penalty. I haven't heard any of them, and now I'm a little concerned that this, you know, I thought it was a very progressive act for you to do that. Actually, I thought you were finally doing something you should be doing. I'd like to know why we haven't, you know, seen the results of that, any fruit from that. That's really all I have to say. I'd like to thank everyone.
Thank you.
Just to should respond to that one because it was a specific question to us. That the fact that we haven't issued the editorial does not mean that we've changed our mind or that the policy has changed. It just is a reflection of the fact that there are 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week. You know, and it just is one of those things that just didn't get done yet, but it is definitely still on the agenda. You're not Lauren.
Hi, I'm not Lauren Cooley, but she offered to let me speak in her place. And
can we get the mic louder, maybe?
Caitlin McCune. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, right into the.
My name is Caitlin McCune, and what I really wanted to say is just how exciting it is to those of us who have worked to bring this network back to hear Leslie's remarks tonight and to really feel like Pacifica is going to be what we all believe that it can and should be. And, you know, most of us have a lot of other issues we care about, which is why we wanted to save Pacifica. And it's a great feeling to know that we're on the right path. And I just wanted to speak specifically on the issue of national programming and say how exciting it is to hear from the other stations, to hear what the network is really standing for, to hear the wonderful programming from around the country. So I just want to thank you all for your hard work and say how great it is to be here.
Okay, we have John Sheridan and then Joseph Anderson. Joseph Anderson will speak after John.
Hi, it's great to see you here in Berkeley, I have to say. Thank you. Thanks. Hello, everyone. My name is John Sheridan, and I'm a listener in the KPFA signal area. I wanted to focus on an issue which is no doubt many issues rolled into one, and that is the issue of the role of the listener in Pacifica from the point of view of the upcoming first-ever Pacifica-wide elections for local station boards. The recent upheavals and crises with the network were created by a number of factors, and those factors need to be changed so that they can never again be allowed to coalesce and threaten the only listener-sponsored radio network in the country. Elections for the five Pacifica station boards are now court-mandated, and the issue is whether the representatives on these new station boards will be all elected to the station boards by staff and listeners, or whether some of the station boards will have appointed seats. For example, the KPFA elections, after the initial year, which grandparented in three prior board members, now consists entirely of listeners elected directly by listeners and staff elected directly by staff. There are no appointed seats except for the general manager, who does not vote. As one who participated in both the elections for the KPFA local station board, I support this form, as does the KPFA election committee and the Coalition for Democratic Pacifica. We do not support appointed seats to any of the station boards or to the Pacifica National Board. The fact is that the long battle with the Pacifica National Board could not have been won without the listeners, who initiated and paid for lawsuits, rallied, picketed the offices of the corporate national board members, and worked to develop new models of democratic transparency and listener participation. Prior to this, information and input by listeners within Pacifica and at the stations was minimal. This lack of information and empowerment nearly cost us the network. To that end, some of the reasons we support direct listener elections include that listener sponsors, listener members, are the most obvious and logical constituency for non-staff elections. This is much simpler than other models, which appoint constituencies. Empowering listeners reverses a trend in the past 10-plus years at Pacifica of top-down governance. It begins to treat listeners as adults and not as cash cows to be milked regularly and then sent out to pasture. Unelected local and national boards presided over or were present at the near destruction of the network. Direct elections, at least to local boards, if not to both local and national boards, is an obvious, simple, and straightforward antidote. Listener elections will encourage grassroots participation, transparency, and accountability, since elected members come out of the listener base and are more likely to report back to it as they can be recalled by it or not, and are not reelected if they behave contrary to its wishes. Elected seats to the local boards will only be 7 or 8 seats per election. To reduce that already small number for a constituency-based model is unconscionable. Appointed seats plus staff representation on local boards could result in a national board made up entirely of people unelected from the listener members. The desire to expand and deepen the listener member base are more likely if the listeners have some structural power within the network. Otherwise, efforts to change the listenership rest with a tiny group of unaccountable elites. Standing for elections with the other listeners is a ritual everyone who wants power within Pacifica should have to perform, except for staff, who still must be elected by other staff. When the local boards become governing boards with real power, it will be more important than ever that elections be before listener members. Direct listener elections can be tied to educating the listeners, as well as coincide with fundraising, with a folio, referenda, and other demographic information gathering to better understand patterns of voter participation. Direct listener elections have already resulted in the most active local board in memory at KPFA. The last local board meeting lasted over 4 hours, and I say that in a positive sense. And that's because local board members at KPFA were elected, and many of the listener electorate were in the audience asking relevant questions. Direct listener elections protect the one-person, one-vote philosophy, which is an inherently fair form of voting, and which could be easily undermined by a constituency or appointment model. I think that staff at elections will listen more to the listeners if the listeners have more power, unlike much of the current situation. I have a number of other points to make, but I think you get the drift that participation at KPFA in the elections has actually been much higher than the usual nonprofit, even in the midst of national disasters, as in last year, and a national election in the year before. I think that we still have to work to increase underrepresentation, but I don't see that direct listener elections undermine that concept at all. I think that if we want to increase the listenership of oppressed groups, I think that opening up listener elections and empowering listenership is the natural way to bring in the grassroots. And I think that that is the main strength of the listener empowerment movement. And I think that is one of the main structural things that we need to consider when rewriting the bylaws. Thank you very much.
Okay. We have Joseph. Joseph Anderson, followed by Dina Colbert, and then Miguel Maldonado.
This is KPFA in Berkeley, KPFA. K in Los Angeles, WBAI in New York, RadioForHouston.org, WBIX.org, KPFX.org, and the Independent Media Center in Washington, D.C., the Interim Pacifica National Board meeting in Berkeley, California, and the first evening of 3 days of broadcasting from the board meeting, this historic return to Berkeley. And we're still having some confusion about who is going to speak next. I think it's okay. Joseph Anderson.
I'm sorry, are you Joseph?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. My name is Joseph Anderson. I'm a member of the community in general, and certainly the KPFA community in particular. And I guess I just want to say that as a member of the community, I think that we need weekly reports from the GM, the lab, the program council, program director, and from all of you. And I think these weekly reports could be rotating among those people or bodies that I just mentioned, and that we should have call-ins along with those reports so people of the community can be more informed about what's going on. Now, I personally think that they should probably be at least an hour and a half or 2 hours, but I suppose at least an hour. So that's just the point that I wanted to make. I think it would help us to be a lot more informed about what's going on a regular basis and have a chance to ask you all and these other persons or bodies questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Dina Colbert. I'm from WBAI in New York, and I'm a producer. There are three issues I'd like to address tonight. The first one is the use of subcommittees that the interim national board members use listeners in each of the areas for subcommittees to help you do the work that's necessary because you've laid out an immense task, and it's impossible to think that you can macro and micromanage all of it and get it done in a timely manner. And I think the quality and quantity would allow you to accomplish much more if you would use us. And there are many people who have, you know, asked to help, but the subcommittee structure hasn't been set up. So I would hope that sometime this weekend you would address that and set yourselves up so that people who do want to volunteer can help you so we can accomplish more. The second issue is that in March, I want to go on record that in March at the last board meeting, I requested that an outreach coordinator be hired both on the national level and at each individual station to do outreach in all communities, particularly communities that have not had use of the airwaves, so that we could get more listener input and more listener input in terms of the bylaws that are coming up and the elections. And that hasn't happened. Even if it were going to happen now, it would take several weeks to post it, several weeks to put it out, several weeks of interview, and you wouldn't have an outreach coordinator on board much before September. And I'm very concerned that there's been very minimal response, at least in the BAI area, in terms of people attending bylaws meetings. I'm not saying that people aren't interested in the topic, but 45 people do not make up the listenership of BAI. And even though those 45 people are extraordinarily dedicated and doing an enormous job, they do not represent a fraction of the listenership in the area. And so I ask that an outreach coordinator be set up. This is the second national board meeting. I'm asking for this, that it be a priority to completing the bylaws. And the third thing is the affiliates. All right. We talked about the possibility of having an affiliate representation on the national board. In order to do that, I think it's only fair that every station of the five sister stations have some input into how they see the structure, as well as asking the affiliates to come up with proposals for a structure before the grassroots conference. So at the grassroots conference, there's some meaningful dialogue. It's not first beginning. And in order to accomplish that, you'd have to put that out right now because the conference is the beginning of August. Thank you.
Dean and I work together. I just wanted to, almost wanted to tell you, just simmer down about the outreach coordinator thing. I'm going to make a proposal that that be included in next year's budget. There is a buzz about that we even have some money that may be coming in to fund some of those positions, have outreach coordinators at each of the signal areas. So that's in the works. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, next was Miguel Maldonado, then Susan Lee.
Hi, good evening, and I'm really happy to be here in Berkeley, and the third national board meeting, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken. I should mention my name. My name is Miguel Maldonado, the local advisory board chairperson of WBAI, and I just want to address the issue of, I think that somehow Gina mentioned that a little bit, but I want to go a little bit deeper in my 3 minutes. Which is, I think, that the relationship that, or the dynamic that's going on after the settlement, and the fact that all of you sitting down there look like, you know, you're sharing the power among different groups in terms of controlling the Pacifica network. And it seems to me like somehow, and that is my personal experience that I've been through in the case of WBAI, that somehow some of us went through the whole struggle in getting back WBAI and hearing people talking before we took, or before we went back to WBAI, like people suddenly change. And all I hear is still transparency, democracy, but somehow it's some kind of structure that doesn't reflect, that allowed us, at least, I would say, to really have a clear participation in that kind of democracy that we've been talking about. And I would just mention, to me, there is democracy when it is all the people participating, when our network create some kind of way that other people can have some input, or otherwise I myself are losing energy and really trying to participate in so many things that's going on in WBAI. Because every time you go to trying to do something and put your energy, and you end up basically later on being excluded for the process. I mean, somehow, in a sophisticated way, it creates some kind of process that you participate when it comes to make decisions. Sometimes, some of those decisions, you hear it on the radio. Without even, in my case, as the chairperson of WBAI, it happened to me a few times. And there is something that I think maybe we should think about that. And also, I would like to recommend to this board that maybe we should be a little bit visionary on trying to see this network 10 years from now. Can we survive in an era of technology with so many other means of promoting news and promoting different events are coming day by day? And I think that I don't think that we as a network, I may include there, even when I'm as a Latino person, I don't say myself, reflection and what the network do and the internal programming, but maybe I should still keep having this issue. Maybe we've been successful and have a better participation as the ethnic group that I belong. And maybe to vision this network, if to see that this network can survive 10 years from now, or maybe 20 years from now, if we go in the way that we are going, it is manipulating process that ended that you look like you have participation, but the truth is that we don't, because most of the time, when we had to fight to create some kind of program, to broadcast some of the problems that we are facing, that and the experience that we have was that because of the people were acting this way, we ended in a huge crisis where there was no participation of all the people, and we ended in a big mess. I just want to call the attention to a little bit on that the people who participate in the struggle are listening around, watching what's going on, even when we don't have the chance to sit down at the table with you guys, and look like we got the power right here, because that's the way I look at it. It's a matter of holding the power and making decisions and talk about being democratic and talk about being transparent, but somehow it's not, doesn't reflect. And you will see at the end of these two more days that we're going to have here, what was all of those transparency and democracy that we're talking about, how much time of participation we're going to do, and what decision you're going to make. When you hear, I hope that we can have more people coming from the local community, that, you know, that the people can express, people who've been supporting this station. If you see yourself and what you would like to see this network, if that is a reflection of what that this board is doing. And I think that, I know that your power doesn't come from us because this is settlement, and your power coming from the settlement. But think a little bit that somehow this settlement was possible because of the people struggling. And even there was not a victory from the movement that we were very close, but it's still what happened in part was because of this movement that still is around, that still is watching, and hope that in those 2 days coming, we can have a better understanding what is to be democratic, what is to be transparency, in terms of what you had to offer and what you had to tell, what are you going to tell the people who are going to be present during those 2 more days. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have Susan Lee and Andrew Fishman, and I've gotten several other names passed up to me. But we're not going to have time to take up any more than the names they already have. So Susan Lee, then Andrew Fishman.
Good evening. My name is Susan Lee. Good evening. My name is Susan Lee. I'm a producer from New York. And I'd like to thank you all very much for working your tushes off to get us here. I'm doing my best. You want?
Now I'm here.
Is the mic up? Okay. I mean, normally, okay. I've just thanked you all. I'm here to speak on behalf of another group that one might say, I might say, is dispossessed, and that's the workers, the people who work in the stations, the people who put out the programs onto the air. You know, we talk about democracy. You know, there's a saying that I just made up, progressive on air, regressive inside. And unfortunately, too many of the stations have been that way. Some of the stations aren't even progressive on the air. But nonetheless, the way workers are treated inside the stations are not optimum. I am very grateful that you've all begun to discuss things like personnel handbooks. But what I would like you to commit to is fostering a culture of respect for the people who produce the air. I would like you to ask each station manager, what have you done to promote workers' rights? How have you contributed, and how are you going to contribute to a culture of communication within the station where each worker is granted respect and is talked to, where even simple things like staff notices are made public? Simple things. You know, we on the left very often are really terrible at these things, and I would like you each to commit to making this a kind of progressive from without and progressive within, and to transform the stations in a meaningful way. But workers' rights cannot come without worker responsibility. This is another new thought. Dina Colbert and I were talking, and it's Dina's idea, that, and we have to start with unpaid workers, think of college faculties. Think where the faculty, who do you know who teaches, and how many of those people really just want to go do research? Well, programmers want to do programming. Well, there's responsibility. And what we need to do is not only have vibrancy from without, but we need vibrancy from within. And how can we do that? We can make it a requirement that each programmer, each staff person, have to serve on committees, so that a program council is not just a top-down affair, that nothing any longer is a top-down affair, that there's vibrancy from the bottom, so that we can have ideas on technology, we can have ideas on programming, we can have ideas on outreach, we can have participation from within, and not just have people who keep their heads low so they can keep their programming. So please, I would like to ask again that each of you commit, now that we have some breathing space, to fostering, and I know some of you people on the board are union people, so this shouldn't be hard for you, but I want that commitment from each and every one of you, that by the next board meeting, that you can say that you've made progress in fostering workers' rights and a community and a culture of communication within the station as well as without.
This is KPFA in Berkeley, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, KPFK in Los Angeles, WBAI in New York, and this is also radioforhouston.org, WBIX.org, KPFX.org, and the Independent Media Center in Washington, D.C. Those last four will be carrying interviews and special Interim Pacifica National Board related programming overnight as well.
While we're waiting, Redwood Mary,
again, this is the Interim Pacifica National Board meeting taking place at Wheeler Auditorium, the University of California, Berkeley campus. And the meeting again tomorrow, if you'd like to come down, will be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Wheeler Auditorium as well, and on Sunday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
The issues that have been raised by Leslie, all very important.